Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and this is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, September 30th, 2010. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm talking over my own words. During our live broadcast, we invite you to call 646-652-4620. Let me repeat that. 646-652-4620. Of course, you can send email anytime to comments at libertytalkradio.com. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, sutton-associates.net. That's Sutton. It's Sutton, S-U-T-T-O-N-associates.net. In his bi-weekly newsletter, Andy discusses economic issues and how they affect you. You can also listen to Andy's commentary on ContraryVersusCafe.com. Folks, that's critical. We have Andy on the program about once a month. In fact, the third Wednesday of every month. That's because after the options are traded in whatever for that month. And he's a brilliant person. He is absolutely brilliant. I read his newsletters with a fine-tooth comb. I understand finance and accounting and all that other good stuff, and I have to read this very, very carefully sometimes, not a lot. But he really writes for the regular person, you know, the person who doesn't know anything. But he is so in-depth, he really makes you understand what's behind the figures and not just make statements. So if you really want to understand what is going on, and if you know what's going on, you're forewarned, you can take appropriate action. I've done this now, folks, believe it or not, for 12 years, and I haven't regretted it. I mean, there's been big, big setbacks with me and my financial future, my financial finances and whatever, my portfolio. But overall, I mean, I stuck it out. I just stayed the course all the way because I knew I was on the right track. And boy, did I get slammed left and right, but I just kept on going on the same track. And today I am just elated that I did what I did. And Andy will talk about what's going on, what is really going on. And we don't understand as people what truly is going on. So please, it's sutton-associates.net. You can also find them if you type in mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com. I know there's a ton of crap, on the internet. And a lot of it is not crap, but there's so much of it. This one I really urge you to do. Now, let me say this. I have been promoting his website now and his company now for almost 4 years. I get nothing. I receive not a penny. I've never received a bottle of wine, trip to Bermuda. I mean, nothing. And not that I want it. Believe me. That the thing is, I'm doing it because I believe in what he says. And I believe that what he says is important for you to know. That's why I say that. Now, he's not the only one. He's just someone that I met. I start reading his stuff. I subscribe to his paid newsletter. And then he has a newsletter which is free. And they're both fantastic. Both of them are fantastic. But I do suggest that you send away for his enroll in his paid subscription to support him, because what he's doing is an actual service to us, and I think he should be paid for it. I do it every year. So I implore you to really take a look at that. You can go to andy-associates.net or mytwocentsonline.com. I think you'll find them both ways. All right, thank you very much for that little rant, but I really mean that. Also, Liberty Talk Radio is now available on iTunes. my son, who handles all this stuff for me, set that up. And isn't that neat? So most of them are on iTunes. We had a problem with a couple of broadcasts where it was skipping, so we had to take them off. But other than that, everyone is on. I mean, all the more recent ones are on there. Lastly, I would like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. Right? Well, please do that. So, and all you do is get a reminder. You won't be getting bombarded. I do not use your email for anything. I do not sell it. I do not send you something to read. Nothing. All you do is say, hey, guys, here's a reminder. Libby Talk Radio is, you know, Thursday morning or Wednesday evening, because I broadcast on either one of those 2 days. You know, here's the subject. That's it. Click it off. You know, but it'll be a reminder for you. And I would like for listeners to be reminded, because I love for listeners to call in. And that makes the show that much more valuable and more colorful. And it's easier for me as well. Folks, one thing I don't do very well, I have a confession to make, is that I title each broadcast. For example, this one is entitled, Who Are We? And then I rant for 45 minutes or a half hour or an hour, and I never touch I touch on the subject, but I never tie it back into the title. And any good speaker always should tie back into the title. And I very rarely do that. I want to be reminded of, you know, who we are. And what I'm going to talk about are many subjects, and they all ties into who we really are. And one is pertinent, poignant. It's incredibly important for you to understand this. Very, very important. In fact, the world needs to understand this. I think most of the world does understand this, by the way, except for the people who live here in the United States. We have a perception that we are this wonderful nation out there helping people and all that. Unfortunately, that is not exactly true. In fact, if I wanted to be brutally honest, I'd say it's the antithesis of what we are doing. You know, and if we believe in all this altruism, you know, by our government, you know, we're on the wrong track. Just like if you have your investments in your portfolio, you may have very good vehicles in which you are investing in. But if you're going down the wrong road, you're going to lose your shirt. And we are in effect losing our shirt. Let me start off with a couple. I want to get back to who we are. I don't want to lose that, but. I heard a speech yesterday that was, the very best speech I ever heard on the incident of September 11, 2001, when the airplanes hit the World Trade Center, et cetera, et cetera. The speaker was a fire marshal. He has studied this. It has bothered him. And he gave an excellent speech. It was short. It was only about 15 minutes long. But he was very, very specific. He talked about the different laws of physics and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't remember it all, but it captivated me and it held my interest. And it wasn't a radical speech or anything like that. He was just questioning how all of this could have taken place. He not only questioned the falling, the way the towers 1 and 2 fell, and he went into that. From a physics point of view as well from a structural point of view, because he used to investigate fires and buildings and whatever, and he had a background in that regard. But what he also did is he attacked the notion that building number 7, which was 2 blocks away, not hit by any debris, that fell in free fall as well. And he gave the number of seconds and all this other stuff and how long it would take a rock to fall in a vacuum. It was fantastic speech. Now, after the speech, the speech was not important. Here is what is critical. And this is why I say, who are we? You know, who are we as a nation? What do we believe? After the speech, we went for, after the meeting, a group of us went to grab a bite to eat. We went to the Flying Burrito. They make great burritos, by the way. They have a vegetarian burrito that is vegan for me, which is great, and I love it. Anyway, I gave a plug to the Flying Burrito. But we're sitting there, and this one gentleman who is a member of this group and very intelligent. I mean, very, very well-read. A good friend of mine. I mean, the guy is sharp. He writes screenplays. He's a marketing director. I mean, this guy is smart, you know, incredibly well-read. especially historically, you know, and very, very interesting to be with. And not only that, but most importantly, a very, very good person. And he made the comment. He said, yeah, he said, that's a very, very good speech. He says, but I can imagine a bunch of Arabs in their turbans running around the World Trade Center, you know, putting in dynamite all over the place, or the thing, you know, disparaging exactly what was said in the speech. Now, the gal we were with, you know, my girlfriend, I call my girlfriend Sally. She's a friend of the family, you know. She's the sweetest gal, you know, but she can be very easily influenced, you know, type of, oh, yes, no, yes, no, yes, you know. But made a point. This is my point, is that the guy who was criticizing the speech or critiquing the speech at lunch, he was absolutely right, you know, is that it is difficult to believe that a bunch of people, I mean, of course, they wouldn't be dressed in Middle East in robes or whatever, like walking around with, sticks of dynamite drilling holes in the hall, you know, while you go to lunch, you know. But he made a very good point, you know, how could have all this been orchestrated? It's so difficult to perceive that it's been orchestrated. I agree. I couldn't agree more, you know. So if you take that position, you'd say, well, that it's all bunk, you know, the government story or version must be correct. But once you listen to the speech, you go, wait a minute, that doesn't seem right. The government version can't be right. It doesn't make any logical sense, you know. Here's my point. My point is what Lieutenant Colonel Bob Bowman, he had a tour all over the United States where he went to speak on this, on Congress and many other subjects. And he also touched on 9/11 as part of his speech. Gave an excellent speaker. And he said this, and this is the most important statement that you could ever hear about what happened on 9/11. He said the truth about 9/11 is that we don't know the truth about 9/11. Now, he's a guy who's a quasi-insider, you know. In other words, he's right. We don't know the truth. In other words, there is so much circumstantial evidence that indicates that something is remiss. Something is wrong. It just ain't right. Although, when people say, well, you know, it could have been something else, then people, oh, conspiracy theorists, nutcake, oh, yeah, well, there's a bunch of Arabs running around with the bombs in their hands, you know, they go crazy. But it is difficult to believe. It is difficult to believe that the government was complicit in this. But when you look at the evidence, it is very, very difficult to dismiss. And my problem is that who we are as a people should be a bunch of dissidents, just like our founding fathers wanted us to be. Incredibly suspicious of anything that government's done. Anything. And yet, as soon as the government comes out with an edict on something, even it sounds like malarkey, we tend to believe it. Or we want to believe it. We have become a very, very soft people. We've become people who are just, we're like sponges, and we're you just wait for mainstream television to feed us stuff so we can absorb it. And the government says that when we absorb it. Now, we don't like it, but we absorb it, and then we reiterate it to everybody else. And we become the true broadcasters of that swill. It's important for you to know, folks, and understand that you nor I know what happened on that day on September 11th. But so much of it is bogus. So much of it is bogus. I mean, now, I don't know, and I don't care. I mean, not that I care, I do care. But I'm not going to investigate it. I'm not going to waste my time. It's over. You know, what happened, happened. You know, the people investigating. There's nothing I can do. I cannot change any of that. But what bothers me is when you see a building implode, not fall, but implode, in a perfect fashion, as a building would implode if it was a controlled demolition that was never hit, several hours after the planes hit towers 1 and 2. All I'm saying, you've got to say, it doesn't seem right. Like Lewis Black would say, doesn't seem right. There's something wrong with that. And people say, oh, there was a fire on the 7th floor in the bathroom or something. Well, so what? I mean, buildings don't fall because there's a fire in the bathroom or in an office. It doesn't. In other words, you cannot connect the dots. And the thing that really bothers me, and I saw this YouTube video recently. There was a YouTube, a broadcast that was taken off the air after it aired once. It was a live broadcast. It was on the internet. Somebody saved it and recently posted it on the internet. And it was a news reporter, major station. And I say major station, but, you know, mainstream stuff. And and he's there, and it was right after the airplane, purported airplane, slammed into the Pentagon. He said, you know, this is a very strange plane crash. I've been in many plane crashes before. I've seen them. He said, there are parts. He says, there are no airplane parts here. Nothing. He said, every part that, now, he wasn't saying that it was a missile or anything. He said, just very strange. He says, every piece on the floor around me, and he was there right after it hit. He says, every piece around me, he says, is a piece that fits easily in the palm of my hands. There's no tail section. There's no engines. There's no pieces of an air. Nothing. No seats. No nothing. Just small pieces. I said, just very, very strange. And then click off the air. Taken off the air. Never seen again. Someone reposted it a few days ago. And he's right. Absolutely right. And I've also seen a meeting. An interview of several airline pilots that fly the 747, 757, 767s, you know, and they were asked, you know, how would a person maneuver into the Pentagon? And the whole group, they just laughed. They said, it's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. He said, you cannot fly that plane, you know, 50 or 30 feet off the ground, you know, for any appreciable amount of time. He says, these guys were treetop, you know, going straight in, not possible. He says, I've been flying these planes for years. I consider myself a good pilot. I would crash. There's no way I can ever hit the Pentagon. So you get this guy who's never flown the airplane before, puts it on automatic pilot, so to speak, flies 30 to 50 feet off the ground and into the plane. It doesn't make any sense, folks. Now, what bothers me is this. This is the thing that really, really bothers me. The most fortified building in the world, the most fortified building in this world, is the Pentagon, bar none. There is no structure in the world that's more fortified in more ways than the Pentagon. There are several satellites beaming down on it. If you walked into the Pentagon, they could say, you have a bologna sandwich in that sack, in that brown sack. They know everything. And what does the government say? Oh, we had our camera, but it wasn't faced in that direction. I mean, now, who are we as a people? We're gullible. We're stupid and gullible. Stupid. We're absolutely mindless, mindless people. Absolutely mindless. That we can go, well, you know, the camera wasn't faced in the right direction. It's the most fortified building structure in the world, folks. There are cameras. There are satellites. There are, you name it. If we saw the films that the government has possession of, we would know exactly what happened on September 11th. Exactly what happened on 9/11. And all we have is a picture from a camera, from a booth that's in the parking lot that just shows a blur and an explosion. Now, look, folks, please. I mean, I can't handle that. Now, here's the point. I do not know what hit the Pentagon. I'm not saying it was a rocket, a bomb. I don't know. That's my point. Who are we? We're a bunch of soft sponges. That's what we are. We go, well, no. No, we don't know. The truth about 9/11 is that we don't know the truth, and the government will never tell us the truth. That's the problem, and that's who we are. People say, I have faith in America. I have no faith in this country. We have lost the ability to think. Our spines have been extracted from us. We're limp. Because we can't think. And then when we do think, we think so funny. We think Republican, Democrat. Oh, yeah, but your president did this and this. Oh, bullshit. Garbage. Excuse the language. Absolute garbage. We have lost the ability to think. Why don't we say, they're screwing us. There's a party going on, folks. There's a big party going on. A very expensive party going on. It's an ongoing party. And a few people are having a hell of a lot of fun. And getting very rich. We haven't been invited to this party. No one who's listening to this broadcast has been invited to this party. No one. Including myself. We're just being asked to pay for it. Let me explain to you how that works. Now, if you think that we're a nation, a united nation, United States of America, you're mistaken. Now, before I get any further, I want to break for station identification. Folks, my name is Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Please call in with your questions, your comments, your criticisms. I don't care. Anything. I'll be nice to you. I promise. The number is 646-652-4620. 646-652-4620. You can send your comments to me anytime to comments@libertytalkradio.com. If you want to be a member of the program, please call in or write in and we'll put you on. But you have to have something to say. I don't say, well, I wrote a book on... not good enough. I want to know how you think. 646-652-4620. comments@libertytalkradio.com. All right. I was speaking to a pilot. Guy was a captain pilot, whatever you call that. You know, but he's a high-end pilot. Worked for the airlines, major airlines. He was a flight control guy in Korea. Bright guy. And I know bright people. I mean, you know how I can recognize bright people? Because I'm not one of them. If I was one of them, I wouldn't be able to recognize them. This guy was smart. Hold on a second. I want to take a swig of coffee. This guy was really sharp, really knew his stuff. And what I liked about him is that when I asked him a question about certain things, if he didn't know, he says, you know, I'm not familiar with that area. I don't know. I love that. Instead of just, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. He said, no, I don't know. You know, for me, it's not my thing. This is what he said. He asked me a question. He said, how many, over what country did the United States lose most of its aircraft during World War II, you know, during the war? I said, that's easy. I'm smart, I know. It had to be Germany and maybe followed by Japan and then France. He says, nope, you're wrong on all three points. I said, you're kidding me. I said, where did we lose them? He said, we lost them over the United States. I said, what do you mean, Pearl Harbor? He said, no. Exclude Pearl Harbor. We still lost most of them over the United States. I thought, is that possible? He said, in training. I said, wait a minute. You mean we lost more pilots in training than we did over Germany, France, and Japan? He goes, yeah. He says, look at the Freedom of Information Act. He says, now you can get those figures. Now, I have no reason to debate, dispute what he said, and I'm not going to go to the Freedom of Information Act, I'll be honest with you. I said, that doesn't make any sense. I said, why? I said, when we train, he says, many boys get killed, pilots get killed. And he said, in World War II, they were shoveling them out like crazy. They were making planes like crazy. They were training like crazy. And he said, they would crash one after the other. He says, it was amazing the number of planes and pilots we lost in training. A lot more now than in combat. Now, here's my point. Who are we as a people? We're ignorant because we don't know stuff like that. The government keeps it from us, and instead of us saying, we want to know the whole truth about everything, we just accept what the government says. That's who we are. We're acceptors. We're not dissidents anymore. We're acceptors. Now, you could imagine if we published the report that would say, a number of airplanes lost over Japan this year were 123. Over Germany, 156. In training in the United States, 254. You could imagine the backlash on that. the response from the public on that. But no, we don't hear that. But, you know, and here's the interesting part. We are losing these planes every day. We lose planes and pilots every day and not in combat. Every day! And the planes cost like $14 million and up. But yet, if one of our airplanes are flying, you know, close to the airspace of another country, another country intercepts that plane and takes it down or whatever, then that's the killer guy, you know, the pilot, you know. We outraged. We, you know, we won't take that. We, you know, we're going to, and we go to war. We want to go to war, and we go through all these negotiations and to avoid the war. And, of course, we're the good guys. But what if we knew that every day we lose several pilots? We kill several pilots, you know, in training. Wouldn't we say to the government, hey, wait a minute. You know, what are you picking on that one country because we may have violated their flight lines? What about all the men we lost today, you know, over here, there, and everywhere? You know, they were just training and practicing. You see what happens? It discredits the government. The government doesn't have a leg to stand on because what it's doing is wrong. It's wrong because it's doing something that's building a empire, building a military force for no good. And we are dying, and our population, our men and women are dying, and we're paying for it. Folks, there's a party going on, and we haven't been invited. We've just been asked to pay for it. All right, now, I was speaking to this guy. I said, I just almost couldn't believe it. He says, Freedom of Information Act, give you all the figures. And I had no reason to believe that this guy was even exaggerating in it at all. So I said, you know, I know a guy who is a chief on a aircraft carrier, the nuclear powered aircraft carrier. He's the deck chief. And that means he's in charge of the deck. He's in charge of the whole thing. He told me he got the highest pay of anyone on the aircraft carrier, and there were like 5,000 people on it, sailors on it. Because he had the most dangerous job. He lost over a third of his crew. Over a third of his crew every year. He was thrown off four times. I think he was there for 7 years. Four times. He says, very unusual. He was saved four times. Most of the time, they don't. They go down, you can't find them again. Gone. They die hitting the water. He was rescued all four times. And this is what he told me. He says, do you know, we lose about a plane a week in flight training. I said, wait, that's about 50 planes a year. He said, oh, yeah, at least. I said, I know you're not lying to me. I know you're not a liar. You don't exaggerate. I'm just, my mind can't, I can't register that. Could you imagine if the government told us the truth? And said, we have about 12 aircraft carriers. I don't know if we have 11, 12, or 13, because I think we dry docked one, then we got Ronald Reagan, and I lost count. I think we had 13, and now we have 12. Anyway, let's say a dozen aircraft carriers, which are not protecting the United States. They're in the Sea of Japan, the Persian Gulf, the Indian Ocean, all over that place. They're not here. You don't see any. If you go to the beach on Rockaway, New York, you don't look out and see an aircraft carrier. You never see it. Florida, never see an aircraft carrier. Fort Lauderdale, never see an aircraft carrier. California, never see one. Unless it's leaving. Now, could you imagine if the government told us the truth? Told us the exact truth. And said, ladies and gentlemen, every year we lose 50 pilots on each aircraft carrier and, of course, the planes. The planes average between $14 and $20 million each. Of course, the lives lost, you know, insurmountable. Now, I assume when they say crash, the pilot's dead. In most cases. Times that by 12. If the government said, well, we lost X hundreds of pilots this year. You know, lost, what's... 58 times. We lost 600 airplanes. And aside from the cost and lives and injuries and everything. Oh, and by the way, the lives of the people on the deck, not only the people who fly the airplane also. You have to include them. He said, but that cost us close to $100 billion every year. And all we're doing is practicing taking off and landing. What do you think? What do you think the outrage would be like? The response would be like? Outrage would be mild, putting it mild. But we don't want to know that. Just like I disbelief, this can't happen. Everyone's crazy. Everyone's got to be nuts now, because this just can't be. But if we knew the truth, if we knew the truth, what would we do? Are we as a nation? I'll tell you, this is my concern. Is that if we knew the truth, we would do nothing about it. That's how spineless we've become. You could imagine if the people in the United States knew, they would say, at least they would say, we don't know, but we don't trust the government. If the government's saying nothing, there's got to be something wrong. Now, my friend who's contesting the speech on September 11th, I said, his name, I'll let him go. Well, his name was John. That's easy. John, I said, listen. I said, I don't know what happened. I'll be honest with you. I said, one thing I do know. I says, government never tells us the truth. He says, oh, that's not true. I said, tell me when. Tell me when the government told us the truth. I got no answer. He says, kissed it off. There was no answer. Who are we as a nation? We should be dissidents. We should be revolutionaries in thought. We have to be revolutionaries in thought. We have to be dissidents in action. And we're not. We're too comfortable. And folks, there is very, very, very little to be hopeful about. Who we are as a nation? We're people who have stripped ourselves voluntarily and happily of all of our wealth. And what did we do with that wealth? We gave it to the government to support a military-industrial complex. All of this money, we are slaves. Folks, you are not free. Oh, yeah, maybe you'd be free to this. Maybe you can go out in the street and naked and run around if you want. But really, we're not free because we are taxed. The government takes our money. It spends it on the military-industrial complex. Now, the military-industrial complex doesn't want to see airplanes not crash. You know why. They make more airplanes. They don't want to see us not at war. There's no money in peace. You could imagine Northrop Grumman. They make 5,000 airplanes. And then the government says, okay, that's it. Thanks a lot. We got enough planes. We got enough planes to last us 10 years. You know, see you later. Ain't going to happen. These people are paying the people who are in office big, big, big money to make sure we are always in conflict. In other words, folks, we work for the military-industrial complex, every one of us. And we are slaves, every one of us. That's who we are. We are the United Slaves of America. And we should be ashamed of ourselves that we allowed this to happen. Every one of us, we should be ashamed. Me included. For years, I went along thinking, oh. When my friend said, oh, the government, what do you mean the government lies to us? The government's a lie to us. I said, yeah. Gulf of Tonkin incident. How about that one? How about weapons of mass destruction? How about we went to the Philippines, remember, with the Theodore Roosevelt? Killed 2 million Filipinos. Boy, am I glad we did. Whoa! Because if we didn't go there and kill 2 million Filipinos, they would have come here and ran over the land. World War One, World War Two. We got into those wars using lies. Every war was a red flag, a false flag. False flag. In fact, this guy Joe from Montana, he's got a website, you know, False Flag Radio. Kind of a tough radio station. I can never find it. I love to call him in, give him a hard time. But he always broadcasts when I'm not around. I'm never here. And I have to apologize to Joe from Montana, that, believe me, I want to call in. I get the notice. It's always after the fact. And I feel guilty because he calls in a lot. Anyway, that's another story. But I want you to understand. Please understand who we are. That we're not this benevolent nation going there and helping people, building roads, this and that. You think, you know, we're there because we are an empire. And empires are imperialistic. We are an imperialistic nation where we exploit. Don't kid me. Oh, no, we help rebuild. Garbage. We exploit. We take control. We have tremendous control over these countries. It doesn't come for free. And anything that we do that is altruistic is done for window dressing, saying, see all the good we've done. We are going to fail in Iraq. We are going to fail in Afghanistan. But folks, understand, it doesn't make any difference. It's not that the people in power, not the president, he's just an errand boy. I'm talking about the real people who run this country. They don't care if we make it in Iraq. They don't care. It doesn't make any difference. They don't care if this is the United States, this is Russia, this is China. Makes no difference. The only thing they care about is keeping the military-industrial complex going. If the United States breaks up and becomes the country of the world, whatever you put a name to, Boko, the Boko Nation. I don't care what you call it. Makes no difference. Just continue to be at war. And they will finance any country that's at war. That's our nation. And then when you look at the news and you see all these people walking around in men's suits with silver hair and all talking this and that, you know this is all the cover. Has nothing to do, absolutely nothing to do with the real issues. The real issues when stay at war. Why do we stay with Israel? Because Israel is always at war. There's a lot of money in Israel. We would love, I mean, not we, the people up above, the money managers. The money managers that finance the military-industrial complex with our money, with us, putting us in debt, taking our money, our wages, impoverishing us so they can stay at war, everyone will be rich. They have not only rich, but be powerful, and they'll maintain that power. You know why? Because of who we are. We're a bunch of spineless citizens. We're just very complicit. We're very obedient. We are non-thinking, non-critical. And worse of all, we are apologists. The government could do something. Our armed forces could do the most horrible thing in the world. We will accept the government explanation, and we will become an apologist for the nation. For the government. And somehow we will make it right. And then we come back with, well, don't you support our troops? God, I can't, you know, I can't believe this nation. I cannot believe who we are. It really, really rips at me. We didn't want to get involved in World War II. The people did not want to get involved in World War II. It wasn't our war. We were forced our president made sure that we had no option, and that if you didn't support getting to World War II, you were the enemy. And that's who we are. If you disagree with the government, you are the enemy. You are enemy, combatant, a dissident, or whatever, and you can be thrown in jail. In fact, I can be thrown in jail for this broadcast. And it scares me. That never scared me before. The free country, say whatever you want. That scares me today. It just scares me. I often wonder whether or not someday I'll get picked up. My wife will never know where I am. And she really needs me. I won't get into that, but she needs me. It scares me. Should scare you. You should be frightened. You should be frightened to a point that being a dissident, being a critical thinker, dispensing with all of your belief systems about government and power, everything, throwing it all away, just wiping it clean, and just say, let me see the facts. We're overseas to exploit the nations, their people, their natural resources, because we're imperialistic. Period. Everything else is noise. But the government likes noise. They want to hear you and I argue. Republican, Democrat, this, that, abortion. All garbage. Garbage, 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 garbage. Every point of it. Every point. Not worth anything. Do I sound down and frustrated? Boy, you have no idea how down and frustrated I am. Now, this is my thing, you know. Now, I'll tell you, the thing that I really study, though, I study things about freedom, thinking, stuff like that. You know, I read a few books. I'm reading one book now. It's really great. You know, it's a novel. It's, but guys, you know, I'm going to write a letter to the author and say, now I know why I'm not an author. I could not do what you do. You're so fantastic. I mean, you write so much. It's clarity and the metaphors. It's beautiful. A great book. Anyway, but it's, we only got 2 minutes remaining. I think with that, I would ask everybody, don't call in now, but please send me your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. That's comments@libertytalkradio.com. I would love to hear your take on what I just said. Please. I had email from Adam, a regular listener, and I was going to read it. I'm going to read it next week. In fact, next week I'm going to have Eddie, my friend Eddie, on, and he's an advocate of English as the only language, but he's great. We disagree with everything. He's a wonderful person, and we have a wonderful broadcast. Next broadcast will be Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock Central Time, 7 p.m. Central. I hope you can join us and join in on that. All right, until next time. This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Grant Shaker's Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Folks, freedom is like riding a motorcycle. You feel free, liberated. Your life is in your own hands. But with that freedom comes responsibility and risk. The government is like training wheels. They control the ride in your every move. Ron Paul has a sign on his desk that says, don't steal. The government hates competition. With that, until next time, I'm Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio. Stay well. Stay tuned.